We have them on the back screen here, so I encourage you to follow along. The first one is Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. And Psalm 127:3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. And then Mark 10, 13-16, and you guys had a preview of this with Anne's message. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Can you remember back to your childhood? I know that's, for some of you, that's a little further long time ago. But can you remember some of your earliest memories of church? Can you remember, I suspect for many of you, you had some positive experiences, things that gave you a good feeling towards church, maybe somebody investing in your life, or somebody giving you an encouraging word, or showing you love, or maybe just a fun thing that you did that you can remember, something that had a positive effect. Maybe in some cases, maybe some of you have some negative memories of church. I know for myself, I can remember some of my earliest memories, of one of them being very, very negative memory that made me not want to go back. My parents made me go one time, and it was a very negative memory, made me not want to go back. But eventually, when I did start going to church, some more positive memories that gave me a good feeling towards church. It's amazing how the things that affect us in childhood have such a profound long-term effect and can be things that we carry on into adulthood. I've talked to so many people, and those who have often are as adults going to church can talk about mostly positive things that they experienced. On the other hand, I've talked to some people who stopped going to church, and usually it was because of something negative that happened, whether it was maybe somebody said a very hurtful thing to them, or simply that the church never made sense to them, they never understood what was going on, it was boring, it was irrelevant. And so in many cases, as soon as they got old enough, they said, "I'm done with that, I don't want to do that anymore." One Christian research group, known as the Barna Group, did a study. And in their study, they found that only 6% of adults who profess to be Christians, who are going to church, only 6% of them made a decision to follow God over the age of 18. That means, on the opposite side, 94% of those who are now adult Christians made decisions as children or as youth under the age of 18 to put God at the center of their lives. 94% of all people who are adults and are going to church made that decision early on in their life. And I know even from there, the majority of them, usually it's under the age of 13 where they've had the most significant effects that have led them one way or the other. We've been, of course, talking about what it means to be missional Christians and to be a missional church. And I don't think we can have a serious conversation about this without having the conversation of the importance of the role of children's ministry and the role that needs to play as we move forward. And I contend, and what I'll talk about this morning, is that to be, I think, a healthy, effective church that is doing outreach, we need to be a church that is all about children, children being priority number one. And that's what I'm going to contend for in my sermon this morning. So before I jump into it, let's take a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, I just want to thank you for this time, and thank you for this great group of people. And I pray you would just challenge our thinking and speak to our hearts and minds. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the things I maybe even want to ask is, why would I even talk about this to this group of people? Because on one hand, I look out at this group and I think we have done so many good things with children's ministry. I mean, one of the reasons Janet and I were attracted to want to come here was because of the heart that people have had for children in this service. And to all of you who've been invested in kids in one way or another, you know, first thing I want to do is just say, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, because we are doing a lot of wonderful things with kids. So why would I even make a point to talk about this? Well, a couple reasons. First of all, any church, no matter how good it is, there's always room for improvement. You guys are familiar with the Ohio State football coach, Urban Meyer. He's, I think you could say, done a pretty good job with the Ohio State football program. It's arguably one of the top two or three programs in the country. But if you were to ask Urban Meyer, I guarantee he would not say, you know, I think we're good. I think we're where we need to be. I think we can just kind of coast along. We got it all figured out. No, anytime you ever listen to them interview Urban Meyer, it's like, we're not there yet. We need to figure out ways to get better. As good as they are, he recognizes that there's room for improvement. And so as much as good as we are doing, there's always things we can improve on and think about. How can we go the next step? How can we go the next level? The other reason, and I'll talk more about this, is simply, as I've been talking so much about, with the changing culture around us, the changing world around us, the reality is children's ministry always has to adapt to the changing world. And so talking about good children's ministry is not something you can just, you know, kind of keep in one place. It's always being modified. Any church that you see that has good children's ministry, they're always thinking about the realities that they need to modify. The third reason I'd say it's important to talk about is maybe talking about children's ministry in a new light and talking about our heart to not just reach our own children, but talking about children's ministry in a missional sense. How are we reaching out to the families, the children in this community who maybe don't have that church background? So those are some reasons why this is important, I think, to discuss. Again, already recognizing so many wonderful things that all of you have done and are doing for our kids. So first of all, why do we make children priority number one? I think first point is that it's a biblical thing. That passage that we looked at in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." You know, I think we've heard that so many times, we've maybe lost some of the force that was in the original statement, the shock value that was behind it. Now, obviously, in Jesus's day, although the Jewish parents, they were good parents, they loved their children just like we love our children. But children in a social setting in Jesus's day were seen as second-rate citizens. There was that mindset of, you know, you are seen and not heard. They didn't really play. They weren't really meant to have any part in the social world. That was just the reality. And so when they were coming to Jesus with their kids, the disciples naturally thought, why would Jesus waste his time? He's an important rabbi. He wouldn't waste his time with children. And so Jesus is basically saying, no, that's not the case. That these children do matter in a social setting. That they do have value. That they actually have something to say to us, just as Anne pointed out. And we can learn from them. And so what Jesus was doing was a bit of a shock to that culture, that he's basically placing important social value on children. I think another important reason that we need to make children priority one is because children, without a doubt, are impressionable, more so than us adults, and they are the most open to the gospel. And the way in which we do ministry for them will turn them on to the gospel, or hopefully not, but have the power of turning kids off to the gospel. Just like you guys can remember, the most powerful memories you have are things that happened when you were young, and you've carried them with you, whether good or bad. We have the opportunity to bring kids and give them a positive experience for Christ, and lead them in a positive direction. And hopefully we can get most of them to be like those statistics, leading them to make a decision to make God at the center of their lives, a decision that will carry on into their adulthood. Most people, as I said, who come to faith do so at a young age. we should be making sure that we do everything we can to turn them on to the good news of Jesus with our teachings, with how we do ministry. I think making children priority number one is important because children's ministry is oftentimes the very thing that can bring young families to the church. If we're going to do outreach into our community, I think probably the most effective way is going to be to reach young families and with their children. Again, generally speaking, I know some of you have come to our church at an older age, and that's fantastic. Obviously, we're glad you're here. But generally speaking, people who are going to be looking for a church are younger because they're less established. They're a little more likely that they're moving. Generally, as we get older, we become more established. And young families will judge a church by their ministry. I know whenever I've had conversations with young families, young parents, the first thing they say is, what do you guys have for children? Or what would you have for my children? And I've heard that over and over. It's the first question they're going to ask. Reaching children is also sometimes a way even to do reach some of the parents, non-Christian parents. My church I was at before here in Wakeman, Ohio, we were blessed. There's a lot of issues with the church, but we had a growing church children's ministry. But I remember one of the people we got to know was our next door neighbor. When we moved into our house, we had a next door neighbor who was a single mom. She lived with her dad, and then she had a son, and then I think she had a stepbrother, and so that was there. And we got to know her. Her son was about the same age as my middle daughter, Rachel. And so, we started to form a friendship with her. And I remember early on, I don't remember exactly how it was, but Janet kind of invited her to church at one point early in our relationship. And she was just like, nope. She was not interested. She didn't want to have anything to do with church. I don't know if she had any background or very little background, but it was clearly something she didn't want to have anything to do. And we didn't push it. We didn't push it on her. We just continued to build a friendship and build a relationship with her, hopefully knocking down some of those barriers, building some trust. And probably after living there maybe about 2 years and having that long-term friendship with her, somewhere down the road, there was something we had for kids. I don't remember. It might have been VBS. I don't remember. Was it VBS? Okay. We invited her little son, Grant, to come. And she, by that time, had enough trust in us. Said, okay. So she took Grant to VBS, and he had a blast and loved it. And so a little later on, our church, we called it a Friends Sunday, where we intentionally tried to invite some of our non-church friends. And so from there, we invited her to come to that. And she came, and we had something for her son, and he was just having a blast again. And she started finally coming every week. And I loved it, because here's this girl who had no church background whatsoever, and I'd see her sit in the front pew, and she would be taking so many notes on my sermons. Like, she was so eager to learn about her newfound faith, and it was just so neat. But this was a long-term relationship that built, broke down some of the barriers, and it really was through her son that we were able to, she was able to connect with us in our church. And we saw it in a number of other things. We had some outreach ministries for the children in that community. And a couple other families began to come because first we reached their children. And so I think there's a powerful way to reach people. And children can have an effective means to reach some of these young families. Another reason to make children priority number one is children's ministry can unify and involve people of all ages. And there's just something about having, when the church just says we are investing in kids, that I think just energizes a church. And again, I'll go back to Wakeman. I remember when I first went there, they were struggling. They were down like 40 people. They didn't have really anything for kids. And they had this nursery that they didn't use most of the time. It was just junky. And I remember just telling them, I was like, the first thing you guys need to do is fix up your nursery and start getting consistent workers there. And to their credit, they did. And it was really cool to see. They took everything I said. They started cleaning out their nursery. They started. They put in new carpet. They repainted. They made it brighter and painted stuff on it. Brought some new furniture. And it was just cool to see how they began to do that. And then we just got people who had never helped with the kids ever began to sign up. I still remember one of my 92-year-old friends, Evelyn Vincent. She was 92 years old, and she began to sign up for the nursery. We had another guy. He was our treasurer. He was the grumpiest guy I've ever met in my life. I mean, working with Paul, so much more pleasant, okay? This guy was a grump, okay? Paul, you're great. You're great, okay? This guy was like Old Man Potter from, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm not kidding. Even this guy, this grumpy guy, began to offer to help in the nursery. And it was a way we involved all kinds of different people, and they'd never done that before. And we had some of our older people who maybe weren't good with kids hands-on. We started doing some children's ministry. They began to cook for us. We had some of the guys, men and women, but mostly it was guys who were more hands-on carpentry skills. They wouldn't know how to, you know, work with kids hands-on, but they began to do things, you know, making props for VBS and for other things we did. People who were good with art began to get involved with, you know, putting, you know, murals for the kids. I remember one time somebody who was good with techie stuff began to put together little DVD videos for our VBS presentation, just using all kinds of different gifts to invest in the children. And it was just cool to see how this church really rallied around. And this church, you know, after I left, they've gone through all kinds, still a lot of turmoil. They've just had a lot of issues that they face. They're still doing pretty good because they formed a strong children's ministry. And that's the one thing that just has kept them going. And it's really unified the church. And so I believe, you know, people can use a variety of their gifts, even if you're not good with kids hands-on. I'll give a fifth reason I don't have in your notes, but Anne kind of inspired me. Another reason to make children priority number one is we have a lot to learn from them. We really do. We have a lot to learn from our young people. And so making them priority one, I think, reminds us of that. Now, I remember when I came here, and of course, a number of members still when I candidated, a lot of you were saying, oh, yeah, we got to make, you know, we want you to help reach the young families. That was kind of, you know, I think one of the things you maybe brought me on here to think about and talk about. But I do remember a couple of people come and pull me aside and just saying, hey, you know, that's good and all, but please don't forget about the older people. And that always made me kind of sad to hear that, because I'm like, I don't ever want to think that when I say we are children priority number one, that can or should come at the expense of our older people. I love working with our older people. I love going and visit those who can't come here, our shut-ins. It's, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and that would always be important. And so when we talk about this, it doesn't mean doing it at the expense of older people. In fact, I believe it will, in the end, bless even our older people. Because some of these young people that we begin to invest in now, of course, some of them are going to go away to college and they're not going to come back to this area, but some will. And they're going to play in the near future important roles that's going to bless us older people. Again, going back to Wakeman, it's kind of cool to see when I first came there, their one family that was kind of new, they had a couple youth group age kids and we started forming youth ministry, and I think that's why they kept coming. And their one young son was Drew Dillon. He's one of my favorite people in the world. He was an eighth grader, and I began to form a friendship with him and some of the other guys, began investing in them. And Drew now is, I believe, a senior at Cleveland State. He's an accounting major, just one super sharp guy. He's actually the treasurer for that church now. He's a 22-year-old treasurer, okay? The grumpy guy's no longer there, but you know, Drew does a fantastic job. He's you know, he's blessing that church. But it began when he began to come to our church as a middle school kid. Good children's ministry is integrated with the church. By the way, this is something that this church does a phenomenal job at. I mean, you guys, we do a fantastic job of integrating our young people already, whether it's some of our kids doing praise music, whether it's some of our young people doing special music. I love seeing some of the young people serve as ushers. So there's a lot of things. And that's, by the way, one of the advantages of a church our size. Mega churches, they can't do that very well. But we are small enough that we can invest some of our younger people into the service. And I think that's an important way. So again, they are being a blessing to the church even now. I'm sure that you guys have done things like this. But I know another thing that comes out, I think of, is sometimes using our youth group to do service projects for some of our shut-ins. You know, I've seen that where our children will go do a service project at somebody's house, clean up their yard, things like that. So there's lots of different ways that they can be a blessing to us. I think even thinking about how we can integrate them into some of the ministries. I had a chance this past week to go do a tour of Hope Outreach Ministry. And I know there's a number of you who've been involved in that. And by the way, it's a fantastic ministry down in Canton. And I already, as I'm going there with Ralph and Helen, I'm thinking, how could we somehow get our youth group to connect with this? How could we somehow maybe do some kind of service project? You know, so things that we're already doing, is there ways we can integrate the youth in some of these ministries that we have going for us? Those are the kinds of things I think we need to think about as we make, you know, children and young people priority number one. Okay, what does this look like practically? What does this look like practically? To be children priority number one, churches have to be willing to get messy. I talked about this a couple weeks ago with one of my print 12 principles about ministry is messy, and I know our custodians are probably like, oh, I don't want to hear this. Because sometimes I mean literal, sometimes I may mean figurative, because sometimes when you're working with new families that come, sometimes their lives are a little messy, and you got to work with that, because they're not always going to come with perfect little church backgrounds. And so sometimes when you invest in a young family or young children, you're going to invest in some of the brokenness that they're going to bring. Sometimes I mean literal, that we're going to do things, and, you know, new families come in, it may make things messier. Or we may have to do things that involve things that we're willing to get messy. I'm not saying we should do this, but one thing that comes to my mind that we could someday do is do like a movie night for kids here. You know, we got this nice screen. We got a nice projector. You know, show like a VeggieTales or something. Invite, you know, families to come. But we got to do something to make it fun. We got to like make it a carnival. Let's have popcorn. Let's get hot dogs. Let's put a bouncy house out in the lobby. Wouldn't that be cool? Tanya, you think that'd be cool? Having a bouncy house in the lobby? I know some of you are freaking out when I say that. And I'm not saying that's what we should do. But that's the kinds of things, when, if kids matter to us and we want to reach new kids, that's the kinds of things we have to be willing to say, that's more important. And don't worry, Rich and Marilyn, we'll clean up, so you don't have to do all the cleanup. So, but be willing to enter into the mess of ministry. To be children priority number one, we have to be willing to put our money where our mouth is. Top priority would be reflected in the budget. My church where I was a youth pastor at, Emmanuel Church in Massachusetts, now, it was a bigger church. It was about 300 to 400. We had a budget of, I think, over $700,000. But I remember at least half of that budget was directly things that involved in youth and children's ministry, whether it was paying for my, you know, salary as a youth pastor, we had a children's ministry pastor. They gave me a budget of $16,000, said, you do with whatever you need to do, whatever it takes to make this ministry good. You know, if it's helping with scholarships for camp, if it's buying pizza for hanging out, if it's, you know, buying a bouncy house for our lobby, you know, whatever it was those kinds of things. And I never even spent close to that much, but it was just great that they said, we want you to have this because this matters to us. And they had a big children's ministry. But they made that a priority in their budget, and it paid off. As I already mentioned, when we think about children's priority number one of the challenges is also thinking about realizing things are changing, and how do we adapt? And involving, again, not just our own children, but children, if we want to see young families who maybe don't have that strong church background, that's going to change the way we do things. Are we a church that a single mom with two or three kids would feel like she could come to and have, you know, this would be a place where she could be involved? Do we have a safe place for people like that? When you look at churches around who have strong children's ministries, interestingly, some of the most successful churches in the area often are not doing things that churches did for kids 30 or 50 or 75 years ago. Oftentimes, they've already made the adaptations. I'll give an example of River Tree again, because there's a lot of River Tree churches, and I know they've made children priority number one. And they don't do a traditional Sunday school. It looks a little different. They don't do vacation Bible school. They do other things. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do vacation Bible school, because some churches are, and it's going great. But it's the kind of things we have to take a look and say, what's the best options for us? Let's not just do things because we do them, but let's make sure these are the right things that can reach our own children and reach children beyond. Thinking beyond children and realizing their unique needs. Meeting kids where they're at. I think there's a tension of finding the balance between fun, making it a positive experience, but not going into entertainment mode. We need to remember our ultimate goal is to help kids to see the love of Christ and help them begin to grow and their relationship with Christ, in the hopes that we give them enough positive experiences so that when they become adults, they will continue on in this. So what does this mean to you? What does this look like to you? I want to challenge each of you to think about the role that you can play how you can be part of blessing our children. Some of you have already doing things, but how can you continue to do that? And again, I want to just think this in terms of our church. I also encourage you to think about people God has placed in your own life, whether it's neighbors. There may be young people who God has placed somehow in your life that you can begin to invest in. You know, maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe you can play more of a spiritual role in your grandkids' faith formation or great-grandkids. At our church at East Nimishillen, we had a great-grandmother, Mary Ann. She's one of my heroes. She got custody of her two great-grandchildren and started bringing them to church. This poor lady's in her mid-70s. She's raising a one-year-old and a two-year-old. God help her. But she was bringing them every week to church, but she began to invest in them. Maybe there's people in your life. Maybe there's a neighbor kid who you can begin to invest in. So it's not just how you invest in church ministry, but ministry for kids in whatever aspect. How can God use you? How can God use us to be a church that really begins to invest in those young people, knowing they are our present, but they are also our future? I want to challenge us to think about ways that we can do that. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you for the chance. Thank you for the young people we have in our church. And continue to give us wisdom and discernment as we invest in them and the right ways to do so. Help us to think how we need to reach out to maybe new families outside of the church who need you and need your love, need your grace. Help us to be sensitive to unique needs that they may have. Father, just help us as parents to love our kids and to invest in them. And help us to just encourage and spur each other on as we seek to raise our children to come to know you, that they may have a good experience with you in their early years, and they would follow you the rest of their lives. We just pray all this in Jesus' name.